Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, good evening, everyone. I'll call this August 4th meeting of the Village of Alloway Board to order. We'll have a roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gast is here. Trustee Dart is excused. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All right. Is there a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Dennis? Is there a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda adopted. Is there any announcements from the board? Hearing none. Announcements from staff. Brad.
Just a reminder that this Thursday is going to be our official grand opening of the Farmers Market, which is located in the parking lot next to the Village Hall from 4 till 7. Farmers Market, again, runs until October 15th on Thursday evenings from 4 to 7, and we're up to 4 produce vendors and some food vendors and all kinds of good stuff. So,
excellent. Thank you. And for those in the audience, if you haven't been to the Alloway Farmers Market, it's right next door, Thursday evenings, 4 to 7. It's really turning into something. It's growing by leaps and bounds every week, and we hope it continues to do so. So if you haven't been there, please feel free to stop by. Any other announcements from the staff? Hearing none, we'll move to public appearances. I suspect that a fair number of you might be here for item number 9, which is the preliminary approval of the petition for Chris Doyle regarding the planned development district for the gas station. So during public appearance section, I'll hear from the other folks, but if you want to speak on agenda item number 9, let's wait till we get there so we can have a full discussion at that point. Otherwise, some of the things you might say might get lost between now and then. So I'll open it up for discussion on that point when we get to that agenda item. So, other than Chris Doyle, this is the public appearance section of the agenda. Does anyone wish to address the board? You can speak on any subject that you so choose. The board can only take action, though, on the things that are listed on the agenda as action items. So, anybody wish to be heard?
I have a question.
Well, you have to come to the podium. You have to come up to the podium. Because we got to create a record, so we'll need your name and address.
I see. Seeing as how I found out about this meeting about 15 minutes ago, my name is Judith Pope. I live at 2375 Riverside Drive. And I think the reason that I am here is your number 15, Action Approval of Recommendation Letter to the Wisconsin Historical Society. Now, does that have anything to do with whether or not your property has been put on that recommended list? Or has this to do with something other than that?
Well, let me see. Item 15.
First one on the top of the back page.
What's on? Trevor, maybe you can handle that. Now we got a couple of those. 15.
Number 15 is in regards to the water department building and the pump house on Green Avenue being nominated. Number 16 has to do with a hiring consultant. Eventually in the future to list some homes that were mentioned in the study on the National Register.
Actually, I think 15 has to do with, as Trevor, or...
Well, my 15 doesn't say that.
Yeah, 15 is the recommendation letter to the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Okay.
That concerns the Alloway Pump House and the Alloway Water Department building, which have been, you know, acknowledged for receiving.
That has nothing to do with the other properties that are on Miramar Drive.
No, but there's 16 dollars. That's
where that will come up?
Yes, it'll come up on 16, but if you want to talk about it, now would be the time. just because what we're going to be doing is requesting a grant to nominate the district as being historical, but we need to receive those proceeds first so that the study can be done.
Well, The only reason I wanted to talk about it is because my home has not been included on it. I understand somebody said that it was referenced that the house faced on Riverside Drive. At that particular time, there was no Riverside Drive. It was Route 6, Green Bay, when the house was built in 1928. The house is in its original condition. It does have a lot that faces on Miramar. There's a stone fence at the front of it. There is a driveway there. And in February, I think it was the 10th of February, I know it, 1931, the Larson family petitioned to have that house known as Bendemeer Estate, or the Estate of Bendemeer. At that time, it was also comprised of four lots, the two lots across Riverside Drive that go down to the river, which are not included in my property now. But that is still used as a flower garden, as a backyard for entertaining. It's the main entrance to the house because, as everyone knows, since they put four lanes on Riverside Drive, you cannot get in and out of your driveway on Riverside Drive at certain times of the day. So since it's in its original condition, and since it was formally listed in 1931 as an estate, I don't understand why it's not being considered for the historical district of Miramar Drive. It's also been used as one of the showcase homes for the Alloway Historical Society. If there are other reasons, I heard at one point, too, there was a reason because there was no sidewalk in front of it. I have the pictures of the sidewalk that was taken out in 1986 when they widened the highway. But there's always been the sidewalk on Miramar. And I suppose the fact that we were only the second owners of this property, which my husband purchased in 1955, and at that time the mailbox was out on Riverside Drive, and that was the address, so we just simply never bothered to petition to have it changed. So I wish that it would be considered as part of the Historical Society, because I am doing my best to put it into its original condition.
Well, we appreciate that, ma'am. I don't have the historical survey in front of me, but we'll get you an answer. Brad or Trevor, can you make sure you get the address? And
okay.
I know a lot of different properties were considered, but I can't give you a specific
explanation. I own another property on Miramar, which is not considered, and I have no problem with that one at all. But this particular one I do have a problem with, because I've wanted for a long time to have it on the State Historical Society, and this is my chance.
Okay. Well, we'll make inquiry, and then we'll follow up. Brad, can you take the lead on that and get you an answer to that question? Ma'am.
I'm Jamie Like, 2365 Riverside Drive, and I'm also here on the same item to just request that my home be included in the consideration for the Miramar Historic District. It is not currently in the proposed plan. Again, I also have property on Miramar Drive. Again, my home faces Riverside, but also borders Miramar. So
we'll
just wanted to make sure.
Well, Jamie, can you give us your address, please? I don't think you said that.
2365 Riverside Drive.
Okay.
Property was built somewhere between 1928 or 29.
All right, well, staff will get you an answer, too, if it was considered, and let you know why it wasn't, or if it could be thrown back into the hat again.
And I have been in contact with the staff.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you.
Ma'am.
First of all, may I say that I'm very hard of hearing, so anyone who responds, I need them to speak up, okay?
Will do.
I'm talking in regards to an incident that happened with the streets department. In April...
I'm sorry, ma'am. Could you state your name? Could you state your name and address, please?
The Alloway Street Department?
No, your name and address, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Sylvia McElroy, MC... capital E-L-R-O-Y. You want my address?
Yes, ma'am.
2680 South Van Buren Street, of course, 54301.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Around April 6th, I went downstairs, well, April 5th, I went downstairs and found our backup coming all over the basement area, which is where the furnace and the water heater and everything is. And it's seeping into the carpeted area of our house. So I tried several plumbing companies, and nobody could come out because they were backlogged. It was a Monday. And we're in a panic. So my husband and son-in-law try to clean it out. Maybe we figured it was our problem. And they just couldn't unlock it, okay? So the next day I tried again with the plumbing companies, and Twirl came out. And this young man went down, looked at what was happening, and he said, "I think you have a village problem here." And he went over to where the house is connected to the village sewer, whatever. And he looked at it, he said, "This is a village problem." And he went right upstairs. He said, "I'm calling the village." So he called the village. Within 45 minutes, your men were there. Truck, equipment, and men. And I preempt this by saying that 1 week prior to this, our house is directly and straight from the sewer on Webster Avenue. You come straight down, you hit our house and our sewer. It's straight as an arrow, about a quarter of a block. We live in that area next to Heritage Hill, the little piece of Van Buren in there. Well, anyway, they came out and they opened the sewer gate and everything went down and unblocked it, and one of the gentlemen from the street department came to the door. And he says, "We got it unblocked for you. We're awfully sorry for the trouble and the inconvenience you went through." And I said, "Well, does this have anything to do with the street cleaning and the unblocking on Webster Avenue a week ago?" And he said, "It may very well have been." Okay, he was prudent enough to not right away say, "Oh, yeah, it was our fault." He just said, "It may very well have been." So anyway, the restoration company came. Our carpeting was destroyed. They had to replace the carpeting and clean up everything. And after a lot of craziness, it finally got back to order. And then the subjugator from that insurance company, Auto Owners, contacted the village. The village said that it was an unforeseen, and what was unforeseen, I have the document here, sudden and unforeseen situation, so they're denying the claim. Now, the insurance company was claiming their $5,000, which is we're not concerned about at all, because that's between their insurance, their lawyer and your lawyer. What we're concerned about is the $500 deductible we suffered and the $85 from Twirl. So that's $585. Well, anyway, we requested first of all, for those men to have come out, there had to be documentation of this emergency call. There had to be documentation of a work order. Someone had to have sent them out. So I don't see sudden and unforeseen. Anyway, we asked for a copy of your letter to our insurance company. And in it, the village said it was not their problem at all, that it was, they couldn't tell what the blockage was. They claimed no responsibility for this at all. And I have that letter here also. And so they denied the claim. Well, my question is, number one, if it is not the village's problem, then it's got to be ours, okay? They did not send us a bill for truck, labor, and equipment, so why didn't they? And if they do, because of this hearing, send us a bill now, do we have the right to say, this is unforeseen and sudden, and it's not our responsibility, therefore we deny payment? Well, anyway, if all that documentation was there, they knew about all of this. They knew that this was an upcoming situation. This responsibility of the blockage, these sewer men from the village, the street cleaners, whatever, they were on Webster doing their usual street cleaning of the sewers and getting rid of the whatever is in there that's causing trouble. Well, these men are used to looking and seeing what sewage looks like, and they knew what was there. I mean, they knew. You can tell a difference between soot and a baby diaper or something like that. They knew what was in there, but they were prudent enough to say they were sorry about... What did they say they were sorry about? We're awfully sorry for this inconvenience and trouble. Now, if they apologized, that means they knew what that blockage was. They knew, and when I asked about the Webster Avenue a week before, they said it may very well have been prudent enough to not to indicate the village right away was at fault. Now, we're not concerned about anything except that we don't think it's fair, and we don't think the whole thing was correct, and make us lose $500 plus $85 for Twirl, and we feel that the village should reverse that denial to us at least and give us payment, and rather quickly. You want to ask me anything?
No, I think you've explained yourself very well, ma'am. You've explained yourself very well. Craig, has that claim been processed through the insurance company yet? Do you know?
That's what's on the agenda, item okay. 14.
All right.
Yeah, that's gone through the insurance company.
Okay. So that is the item that's on the agenda tonight? Yeah, it's...
I can't hear what you say.
It's on the agenda tonight, ma'am. The village's insurance company has recommended that the village deny the claim. And it's on the agenda.
Well, I can be sure that any insurance company for any person, in this case, village, will try their best to deny a claim. I mean, they wouldn't be in business if they didn't. I can see where they would, because $5,000 is a whopping big amount. And that's not our concern. Our concern is what we went through and what we're being asked to pay when it wasn't our fault. None of it was our fault. It was the village's fault. So I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's correct.
Well, we'll take that issue up on the agenda when it comes to the claim.
Are you saying that you're going to take that into the agenda for next month?
Nope, it's on the agenda for this evening. It's on the agenda for tonight. It is... Yep, it's item number 14 on the agenda for this evening, ma'am.
They'll be talking about this tonight.
Oh, they'll be talking about this tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I sure hope that the village will take care of its people and see when things are correct and do the honest thing and make sure that we do get that money, because it's hard on us to have to pay a bill which is not... our bill to pay, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me tell you.
Nope, this is our chance to listen.
Pardon me?
I said this is our chance to listen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
Good evening. My name is Ross Kronowski with Gerber's Law, 480 Pilgrim Way. We represent Dennis and Lynn Dorner, who are property owners at 1401 South Webster. This is regarding agenda item 10. I guess we would just simply request that the board follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and approve the conditional use permit for that property so that Labor Ready can continue to rent that property as it has done since 1998. So that's all.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address the board on anything other than agenda item number 9? All right. Hearing none, we will close the public appearance section of the agenda. Old business item number 5, action regarding resolution 2015-23, Transportation Investment Coalition resolution. Do I have a motion concerning this from the board? Trustee Raffer.
I would make a motion to not pass the proposal Transportation Investment Coalition resolution, but rather we should engage with our elected state officials to better understand what we can do about that.
I will second that motion. Any discussion of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution not adopted. New business, item number 6, action regarding resolution 2015-24, thanking Jenny Hammes for her years of service as the recreation coordinator for the park department. Is Jenny here?
I'm here.
Oh, there she is. Well, stand up. We're gonna resolve something for you. Well, here, let me do it this way first. Is there a motion to adopt? Because if they don't pass it, I don't want it. You can sit down. Is there a motion to adopt resolution 2015-24? Trustee Harris, is there a second? Trustee Green, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution unanimously adopted. So since you're here, I will proclaim you.
Okay.
All right, resolution 2015-24, Village of Alloway. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to sincerely thank Jenny Hammes for her dedicated service as the recreation coordinator, her commitment to the Village of Alloway, its residents and staff, her willingness to assume multiple responsibilities within the village, and her attention to details as well as her vision for recreation programs. And honor Jenny with a resolution in recognition of her outstanding and tireless service to the Village of Alloway, passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this fourth day of August. Thank you so much. All right. Is Barb here? No? We'll resolve in her absence. Action regarding resolution 2015-25, thanking Barb Copperwood for her years of service on the Historic Preservation Committee. The resolution is as follows. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Barb Copperwood for serving on the Historic Preservation Committee since April 21st of 2009. And to honor Ms. Copperwood with a resolution and certificate of recognition of her excellent service to the community. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of this resolution? Trustee Dennis, is there a second? Trustee Rafter, is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Resolution unanimously adopted. Item number 8, action regarding resolution 2015-26, thanking Barb Copperwood for her years of service on the Plan Commission of the Village. Resolution 2015-26, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Barb Copperwood for serving on the Plan Commission since March 5th of 2013, and to honor Ms. Copperwood with a resolution and certificate of recognition of her excellent service to this community. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of this resolution? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Resolution unanimously adopted. For those in the audience, there are a number of wonderful committees in this village, and we always look for volunteers to sit on those committees. And if you serve long enough, you get a resolution. So lots of vacancies, and we could all use your support. So please consider that, and you can see it on the website, correct? There's a list of the committee vacancies on the website, so I encourage you to take a look at that and participate in the community on a committee basis. All right. We are at number 9, which is why I suspect we're so popular this evening. Preliminary approval of the petition of Crist Oil. I think what I will do is there someone from Crist Oil here that's going to make a presentation. What I propose to do is have them make a presentation, then we'll open it up to the public for comment, and then the board will take the issue up. Trustee Harris.
I'll need to recuse myself from this item.
As you wish. Trustee Harris, let the record reflect, Trustee Harris is recusing himself.
I'm Craig Richardson, representing Crist Oil Companies on the proposed planned development district located at 1921 Riverside Drive. We did attend the Planning Commission meeting in which the petition was approved, and we had taken some of the comments that were given during that commission meeting and also some things that Mr. Fuller had forwarded on. And we did make some revisions, if it's appropriate to hand these out. And
sure.
It might address some of the things that might be discussed here tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The proposed development is a quick food mart with a fuel canopy, 50 by 92 structure, 4,600 square feet. Some of the aspects of it is we're looking to get a proposed drive entrance off of Highway 57 Riverside Drive. We've had some preliminary contacts with the DOT on that. You know, if this does get a chance to move forward, we'll obviously apply for that and work through that process. You know, then we have the other access coming off of West St. Joseph Street. And originally we had just a single drive entrance, and now we went with the double drive per the recommendations after the Planning Commission meeting. A couple of the other changes I'd just like to highlight on the site are we moved the building closer to West St. Joseph, added a pedestrian access there to make it more you know, non-motorized friendly there, and also moving the entrance to the store on the side closest to West St. Joseph Street. And we added some more landscaping features, the street trees and some plantings as well. I added a couple more parking spots. And, you know, there were some concerns from the residents up to the east, up above the retaining wall there. And we added a feature to hopefully address some of their concerns with a landscape berm to provide some kind of buffer for them to give them some more privacy there. And then also we did remove the proposed driveway off of the diocese, and we got the site to work without that. So kind of in a nutshell. That is the changes we've made since the petition was filed to address some of those concerns. We did also add a bike rack there, and we did some renderings to show you know, a little bit more on the look and feel of the site, you know, what the structure is going to look like, you know, the brickwork, you know, the parking, and also showing the, you know, the brick on the columns for the canopy to match the architecture of the building. So.
Anything else?
I guess kind of what we envision there at this point for preliminary stage. So,
is the driveway onto Riverside, is that a critical component of this development? I mean, such that if you don't get the Riverside access, that's going to be a big problem for you?
No, I think the big thing, if that doesn't occur, we might have to look at maybe spacing the other driveways out a little bit, you know, just to give people a little bit easier flow through the site. So.
Does the board have any questions? Trustee Green.
I just have two. I was in one of your facilities in Ishwaubenon today at, it was right off 172,
Babcock.
And yeah, Babcock. That looks like it's got a driveway arrangement to me very similar to this that's hard to get in and out of if there's no alternate. So I would caution you about one driveway in and out. Because my ability to get out of there at 4:15 this afternoon was circumspect at best.
Okay.
And then, do you have any other arrangement for your buildings? One of the things we pride ourselves of within Alloway is our historical nature. And this is right in our walkable, what we're envisioning as a downtown as we go forward. So I just didn't know if you had any other proposed building types that would fit more into historical structures.
We didn't have any developed at this point, but if, you know, the project gets approved to move forward, we would definitely work with the village to see if, you know, what can be done to, you know, meet the aesthetics of what you have envisioned there. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other board questions? Trustee Raffer.
What are the hours of operation?
Typically, the hours of operation are, you know, most weekdays 6 to 10, 6 to 11, and maybe a little bit, you know, on the weekends. Little bit later, but that's the typical hours.
Okay, so you're not a 24-hour facility. It's not a 24-hour facility.
I'm gonna have to defer to no, not at this point. So,
okay. Not at this. And So not at this point, or do you are your most of your facilities 24-hour facilities?
No.
Or?
No.
Depending on the business, I think the village has a ordinance that gas stations can't be open till past 10 p.m. in conversation with Trevor. So it should, okay. It should not be an issue. Open 6 a.m. and closing at 10 p.m.
Okay. What are the 12 parking stalls along Riverside Drive? What are those designed? Is that to be able to provide parking for the store?
Sure. Okay. It's just trying to conceptually how the parking layout to meet the requirements. Typically, the lots don't get full, but yeah. You know, if it were, that's something how it could lay out. You know, if it moves forward, we go up there and get, you know, surveyed and spatially, we probably can look at how it might possibly work better or bring those, you know, parking spots closer to the facility.
The reason I ask is at the Planning Commission meeting, I believe you were asked if you could put the store up to Riverside Drive and have the pumps in the back. And I was wondering, have you taken that into consideration? And if so, what has your decision been on that?
We could. We just didn't get that far in the revisions, but that was definitely something that could be looked at.
Okay. And... Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Trustee Raffer. Any other board questions? All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Trevor, I hate to put you on the spot, but for the benefit of the public, can you describe where we are in the process and what the board's doing tonight based upon the plan commission's recommendation?
Sure. This process tonight is essentially determining, if this development in principle or concept fits within the development scenarios identified in any development projects or plans that the village has either adopted or plans to adopt, as well as it fits with our comprehensive plan as well. This is preliminary only, so it does not bind the village to final approval. This tonight, again, is just approving the concept, really. Details of the project, layout, all that other stuff within the site. Obviously, if the layout affects neighboring properties, then that should be discussed tonight. But details of the site itself will be handled in the next step.
And this will go through the planned district development process?
Correct.
Okay.
The next step would be, if it moved on from village board tonight, we'd go to the Plan Commission in September, at the end of this month, and then it would have to likely until October.
We can't hear anything that's being said.
Sorry, it would likely have to, it would go to the Plan Commission in September, in August, and then because of the noticing requirements, it would likely not come back to the village board until October.
Okay. Thank you, Trevor. I mean, I just wanted to give you all the lay of the land in terms of what's happening tonight. This is, you know, the Plan Commission recommended approval of the concept, you know, placing this type of business at that particular location. You know, the details, and we've got some very rough drawings here and layouts, but the actual details of the plan, what the building's going to look like, where it is, you know, what kinds of things will be required to mitigate or eliminate the impact on adjoining properties. That's something that will happen. The meat will be added to the concept through the plan district development process, or what we call the PDD process. So if the board gives preliminary approval to the concept tonight, then the details will be worked out between the developer and the village through the PDD process at the Plan Commission. And they're pretty vigorous at the Plan Commission. And then ultimately, once it gets past the Plan Commission, if it does, then it comes back to the village board for approval of the final concept and how it will actually look. So this meeting tonight is to determine whether the project should go forward as a concept, because there's no sense in wasting these people's time if the village board's going to tell them no. So that's kind of that's kind of where we're at in the process. We're not giving final approval to any specific design or specific locations. The purpose of tonight's request is that the Plan Commission recommended approval of the concept, and that's what the board's going to be taking up tonight. And then the details will be worked out after this, assuming the board gives the go-ahead, you know, conceptually to proceed. Because these people deserve an answer, and if the answer is no, then they don't need to waste their time anymore. If the answer is yes, then it makes some investments into this process, and the Plan Commission will work with them to try to arrive at an acceptable, from their perspective, and an acceptable concept or actual design from the village's perspective, and then the village board will hear that at a later point in time, and either approve it or disapprove it or send it back for revisions. That's kind of the process, so I want to make sure everybody was aware of what that is. So, hearing no objections from the board, I will open it up to public comment. If you could approach the podium, state your name and address, and then feel free to talk. Let's try to keep it somewhat limited, since I see that there's probably a number of you that wish to speak. But, you know, if I find just time-wise it's getting out of hand, I'll start, you know, holding people to some kind of a time limit. But, you know, until then, knock yourself out. Ma'am and sir.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Carrie DeGreef, and I live at 366 West St. Joseph, Unit 6. And this is my husband, Gary DeGreef. If you build it, they will come. Crystal Oil Company is truly banking on that aphorism coming true. Unfortunately, what will come to our neighborhood and village is not what Alloway needs. Location, location, location. One important rule of thumb when making a business decision. Location was important to all residents when they chose to buy homes and condos on St. Joseph Street. Village board members, the Heritage Hill condo was built in 1981. Many of the original owners still live in these units. Many of my neighbors chose this location as their retirement home, just as I hope someday will be ours. The occupants of all three condo associations have served our community as school teachers, leaders, professionals, and a few in the military. Over 30 years, the residents of three condo buildings have enjoyed living in this quiet and undaunted neighborhood. The hotel guest and their long-term stay guest, along with the numerous walkers and bikers, face very little difficulties along the west end of St. Joseph Street in Alloway. My first concern are the nuisances that will occur with the convenience store gas station in our neighborhood. Bright lights, traffic, noise, noxious fumes, and the possibilities of more serious contaminations. The residents who occupy the units on the west side of the building of 366 West St. Joseph Street have three windows. Every window faces Riverside Drive. As you can imagine, these units will have the potential of bright lights beaming into our windows and sitting on our patios, enjoying the view of the river and the stadium, will no longer be tranquil. This development will bestow a negative stimulating impact on our living conditions. Most importantly, are the hazards our village will be challenged with. High traffic on St. Joseph Street with no sidewalks jeopardizes our walkers and bikers and our children. More traffic and higher risk when exiting on and off St. Joseph Street. Children and adults crossing Riverside Drive from the trail for a treat or a bottled water. Traffic hazards turning into a potential gas station from Riverside Drive. On several occasions, I've experienced close calls turning off Riverside Drive. while driving south onto St. Joseph Street. The proximity of the hill and corner to the left turn lane is dangerous because of speed, length of the turn lane, and heavy traffic. Currently, exiting the west end of Joseph Street is difficult enough without having another interference of cars exiting in and out of a convenience store and gas station.
I have some information from my neighborhoodupdate.net,
and I pinpointed the locations of the five gas stations in the area, and also 366 West St. Joseph. And you can't, unfortunately, you can't see the numbers of the violations, the traffic, the noise, the disorders, and things like that. But you can go to the website, myneighborhoodupdate.net, to see what I'm talking about here. But there are five gas stations currently that I counted within 2 miles of the potential location of Crest Oil. There are two less than a mile. The Brown County Police Department told me today that there were 33 police calls made within 3 months of the Shell gas station at 3630 Riverside Drive. I also spoke to the Green Bay Police Department, which I did not have time to pick up the reports that they ran for me, of all the police calls made to the convenience stores on this, the paper that I have. Literally hundreds are made in a month. And I have a few questions regarding what the engineer had said about the buffer for the neighbors. What type of buffer would it be?
Right now it's some kind of vegetative buffer. This is all just real conceptual.
Is the buffer going to, how high is the buffer going to be? Is there a possibility of blocking my view when I'm sitting on my patio enjoying the river and the Packer Stadium? Not everyone can say they can see the Packer Stadium from their home.
We haven't got that far into the details yet.
Yeah, and once again, those will be issues that will be taken up at the Plan Commission.
Okay.
They just want to know if we like the concept.
Okay.
All those details will come later. And also that whole PDD process with the Plan Commission, and once again when it comes back to the Village Board, those are all public meetings too. So if they get the go-ahead, it's open for residents to talk about how big that buffer should be, how little the buffer should be, where the lights are shining. All those things are going to come in and be fair game in that process.
Now, the comment was made by the engineer that if the state had a problem with them getting access coming off of Riverside Drive, that they were looking at widening out the driveway. Well, you had made this statement, it's hard to get in and out. You're not going to widen the driveway. What they would do is put one on each end of their lot. You're going to have two driveways. Now you're really going to have a congested area in there. And there's the statement that the hours are 6 to 10, Village has an ordinance. I believe that's what it was said before, that they can't sell gas after 10 o'clock. What does that mean? You're going to shut the store down too? There's a lot of places that shut pumps down and they keep their stores open. What's their plan? They said at this time they're not buying on that board at that time. I mean, they could open the place up, and a week later they said, you know, we decided no, we're not to do that. We're going to keep the store open 24 hours. We don't want that. We don't want lights on there. We don't want traffic coming in and out there. What happens after 12 o'clock? Everybody knows. No good. Nothing good comes out of after 12 o'clock.
And one more thing I'd like to say. St. Joseph Street, the street is used by people who are either walking, driving their bicycles to get to the path. We see a lot of that every day when you're sitting outside. I hate to see St. Joseph Street be a throwaway to get gas and people coming up and down our street because they need to get to the convenience store. Right now, I have a difficulty getting through, getting making the left turn onto Riverside Drive. And as I mentioned before, several times I've had situations where I was turning left, and because of the hill and the corner and the speed, I had times where I was afraid that I was going to be rear-ended. So if we now put a convenience store in this location, our traffic is going to be that much more. Our hazards are going to be much more, and I fear that the pedestrians, children, people walking the trail, there's going to be problems with that. So I ask the village to consider denying this proposal for the safety of their community and for the residents who have built their lives in this area, have chose this area as retirement. And I thank you for listening to everything we've said.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, does anybody else wish to address the board concerning this conceptual design or concept?
Excuse me. I'm Ben Wagner. I live at 366 West St. Joseph Street, unit number 2. And I've been a resident of Atlaway for 50 years and enjoyed the privilege of living here. It's been a fantastic community. And so I just want to speak in behalf of the eventuality of a station as opposed to some of the other developments that you've had in Alloway. I think you've been blessed and you've been part of the program relative to this becoming a medical community. If you look at the corridors of Alloway going north and south, been a tremendous expansion in terms of medical development, and I think that probably meets with your zonal requirements. The problem that we perceive here is that you have a high impact area residentially, because you're looking at 50 condo units in a very close proximity, and I would think that in the village of Alloway there certainly are business areas that wouldn't have the impact on residents of the community that this particular development would have. Somewhere on Webster or Riverside Drive or whatever, there's got to be a business or whatever that would love to have their business and property purchased by another business coming in and not have an impact on the residential people. And so from that consideration, I just seem to think that there's got to be other locations in there. And if I wear the hat of the oil company, I can understand why they would want to develop it, because you don't have a great deal of demolition costs or anything of that nature. But even if it was a demolition situation in another area, they have the ability over the lifetime of that station to amortize that additional cost. So, and they don't have the the deep pockets that obviously an industry situation would have. The other thing that I would like to relate historically is when those condos were developed, they were not the most desirable in terms of the village of Alloway, because the developer had a difficult time in the development and they couldn't sell all the units. So what happened was they went to a rental situation in the same buildings, and as a consequence the rent was very cheap, and the county put a lot of people in there that caused the residents' problems. They caused the village of Avalay problems because there were a lot of police calls and things of that nature. And ultimately, they were to the point where they became occupant-only situations. And I wouldn't believe that we've had a police call in that area for over 20 years. So, and as a consequence, the assessed value of these condos have gone up substantially because the tax base at that time was very low because it was an undesirable piece of property. That could happen again. If you get into this situation and now it doesn't become a desirable thing and people try to sell their units and they can't sell them because of the obvious confliction in terms of what they perceive as an ordinance situation, then your tax base is going to go down as well, and you're talking 50 units. And so, you know, you might, obviously you're going to gain by having that property developed on Riverside Drive, but you also have a loss coming in terms of what's going to happen to the values of those condos, and that's going to impact the tax base as well. And the lady there spoke of the aesthetic value, and you know, it's if it has a historic aesthetic value, it certainly has a residential aesthetic value. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. All right, does anyone else wish to address the board on this particular agenda item? Sir.
I'm Brent Watska. I own the former Eve Supper Club building at 2020 Riverside Drive. And I also operate a prosthetic practice out of the third floor of that facility. I hadn't heard about the development until recently, so I don't have a lot of thoughts or feelings on it, other than I echo the sentiments of previous speakers saying that it would probably have a negative effect on my property value. And I'm concerned about the access in and out of my property with this development taking place. So those are just a few initial concerns I have. I don't know that it's the best use of the property. Being that you want to develop a medical corridor, I don't think a gas station really fits into that mold. We've had some luck, you know, having different practices rent space in the building and have interest in, you know, the old Eve space and things like that. And I don't know that that same interest would be there with this type of development being in close proximity. I myself, when I go to work in the morning, if I have to do something on Webster Avenue, I'll actually go down to Port Lear to the stoplight to get back in the other direction to access my property, and that's without a gas station there. Because from the hours of, you know, roughly 7:30 a.m. to, you know, 9, the traffic flow from the south going north is extremely heavy, and similarly in the afternoons, it's extremely heavy from the north going south. So to add to that and not have some sort of control on the intersection, I think would be a bad idea. So I see the number of pedestrians using my driveway and in other areas to access the trail on a daily basis. You know, I would like it to be as safe for them as possible, as well as the people that visit my office. So those are just some of my initial thoughts with the proposed development.
Any way you're going to use it back up there?
not so far. I haven't had too many restaurants too interested.
Well, thank you for your comments.
Thanks.
Anyone else wish to address the board on this agenda item? Ma'am.
I'm Pat Vandenhoven from 366 West St. Joseph. I've been in the condominium since 1985. I think the best place in town to live. I have a couple of questions. the other night when we were here for the commission meeting, they seem to be very much for this establishment. I would like to ask them if they would like this establishment in their front yard. Also, the engineer spoke of the, they put up this wall, the whole wall is there, but the upkeep, the shrubs and so on and so forth. What's going to be the upkeep of those things? Right now we're sitting on a mess that's not being taken care of because of its being for sale. And we look out on that. So what are their plans for this wall that's there now? I mean, they can't take the wall down. It goes underneath our grass towards our building. I don't know how many feet. How many?
15 to 20 feet.
15 to 20 feet when Brennan put up that wall, cement wall, so they could get more cars in. And it's worked fine, but and they've kept up the shrubbery and things, but since it's been for sale, it's not being taken care of. Then, also, somebody mentioned about our property values, what's going to happen there. And at the meeting last month, last Tuesday, I guess it was, or Monday, Mr. Christ, I don't know what your last name is, made the comment that about using a drive connected with the diocesan driveway coming in off of Riverside Drive, of getting permission for that. And he said, well, we'll just send a big check to the diocese, and that'll take care of it. So that's all the comments I have.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else from the public wish to address the board on this particular issue? All right. Hearing none, I'll give the developer a chance if they want to respond to any of the questions or concerns. I understand the design's very preliminary at this point, but I'll give you one last opportunity. I mean, you've heard some resident, you know, concerns, and if you want to, you can address some of those. You don't have to.
No more comment.
Okay. Thank you. Then I'll resume the rules and take up the rules back with the board. I am curious, though, and maybe staff can help me. The ordinance that I've heard about, you know, about the gas stations and, you know, they have to close at 10. I mean, does that include the convenience store, or is that just the gas pumps? I mean, I'm not familiar with the particular ordinance.
When I spoke with the developers from Crist Oil, I actually misspoke. It has been past code practice to not allow gas stations operate after the hours at 10 p.m. We don't actually have an ordinance on record, so I guess that would be a condition as part of this PDD process and something I would suggest looking into adopting in the future.
Okay, then we can build that in as a condition to the PDD, and we should get it on track to have an ordinance, because I don't think they should be open after 10 o'clock within the village limits. So let's put that on track to get an ordinance adopted, but we'll make that part of the conditions of the PDD if the concept moves forward.
So just for gas or the convenience?
That'll be up to the discretion of the board, you know, at the time the ordinance comes, you know. And as part of the PDD process, assuming it goes forward, that'll be a discussion we're going to have in terms of, you know, what can be open after 10 o'clock, if anything. You know, I mean, my gut reaction is the gas pumps and the store will be closed down at 10 o'clock. At least that's my preference, anyway. If we don't have an ordinance on the books, I'm going to put one on there. I'd like to see one on the books. But I think, you know, 10 o'clock closing time is reasonable because we are, you know, a residential community. You know, it's different if you're out on GB and, you know, on Monroe Avenue there. I mean, it's different there. I mean, there aren't any residences there. So we'll get that ordinance on track. But I suspect if the concept goes forward, that's going to be one of the conditions of the PDD. But by the time you get through that process, the ordinance will probably be on the books already anyway. So no, we close it for public. I don't want to reopen. The board's resumed the rules. So discussion from the board or a motion from the board. I'll take either. We don't have to have a motion right away, but if somebody wants to make one, then you're entitled to make one. Or we can discuss.
Discuss?
We can. And since you asked that, I assume you want to have a discussion, Trustee Rafferty.
I can discuss. I have a concern, and my concern is what Ms. Weigland from the diocese mentioned at the Planning Commission meeting. She said, if you're going to hold, if you're going to pass it, hold Chris Oil as accountable as we did to Quick Trip. I'll say the same thing about this proposed development as I did about Chris, and I don't think it fits in with our long-term plan. I drove the village today and didn't take too long, but we have five vacant commercial properties for development. And we just went through a big process of the corridor study identifying what people in the village want in our village. And the types of things that have been identified are high-density housing, mixed-use development, retail, restaurants, entertainment. No one has mentioned new gas stations or convenience stores as a need in the village. I think the amount of land that we have is so little and so precious that I think from a balance perspective, we need to have this property available for other developments. The purpose of a PDD is in part to affect desirable and quality development. I don't see this as being desirable at this point in time from the village residents' perspective, from the input I heard at all of the open meetings and during the corridor study meetings. The purpose of a PDD is to have a well-balanced, aesthetically pleasing village, economically desirable development. I don't know that this is what I would consider aesthetically pleasing. It is to encourage diversification, and as the one lady said tonight, we have multiple gas stations within a 2-mile radius, and I know the Grafe report showed that within a 5-minute drive we have a slight leak of gas stations. I think we have plenty of gas stations myself. It also says we don't have enough furniture stores. I would agree with that. And it also says to encourage effective and efficient use of vacant land. And I personally don't believe that's the case here. That's all I have.
Thank you, Trustee Rafter. Anyone else on the board? Any other comments?
I agree with what Trustee Rafter said. I know that this made me think of it. I see Don Johnson sitting out in the audience out there. Remember when he came before the board to ask for some changes in his property, which now is Pitwell, and how the restrictions that were put on them at the time. And I think that we should work with what we have as a village, and that we should respect the fact that we've invested a fair amount of money into this study, and to just disregard it and say, well, yeah, let's go ahead with it. Now, that having been said, and it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth with this, we should look at this and continue to look at it, but realize that this is probably not the best use for that property.
and when the Quick Trip proposal came before the village board, I really wrestled with that. I really did. I probably changed my mind 2 or 3 times in the weeks leading up to that meeting. Because I think economic development's good. I think increasing the tax base is good. I think the PDD process can mitigate, if not eliminate, a lot of neighbor concerns. But ultimately, you know, with the Quick Trip project, you know, I voted against it. And I did so primarily for the reason I viewed that particular intersection as being, in essence, Alloway's downtown. And in that context, I felt that, you know, I could reject that proposal. I think people should be able to develop their property as they see fit, in most part. I mean, subject to reasonable regulations of the village and the PDD process and things of that sort. I mean, somebody owns that land. They want to sell the land. They have a buyer to buy the land. Right now it sits vacant. I don't know how long it's going to sit vacant. If somebody doesn't do something with it, and we have a developer ready, willing, and able to do something with it, subject to the control of the village through the PDD process. I don't view that particular area as being the downtown center of this village. It's definitely a wonderful, you know, thoroughfare and boulevard, and it's going to be beautiful once, you know, it gets redone. Best use. You know, I hear that term, highest and best use. And I don't know, it's our job to tell people what the highest and the best use of their property is in all circumstances. And so I think in this particular project, I think that I'm going to defer to the private rights of the individual to sell it and the developer to develop it, subject to the control of the village through the PDD process. That's why we have that process. So I guess that's kind of where I'm coming down on this one. Anybody else have any comments, or I'll entertain a motion? Trustee Rafter.
I have a comment. Regarding how, and in thinking about this, I thought about the exact same thing you brought up about how long will it take to be developed. You have a buyer. I personally can't wait until we approve the Grave study, the corridor study, and when we can open it up to developers and hold a developer conference and say, here we are open for business, because I know some would say this is not being open for business, but I can't wait until we can say, we are open for business, we have this vision, and we want to bring you into town. So it does hurt to say, yeah, it's vacant land, it'd be nice to have it filled, but I would personally like to see a beautiful restaurant there, or mixed use, or something that gives us more balance within the village with the limited space we have.
And I agree with you. I'd like to see something different there. Mm-hmm. Where I wrestle with it is it my job to tell the owner of the land what he can and can't put there? That's where I wrestle with it. I mean, would I like to see something other than a gas station? You betcha. I'd like to see a restaurant. I'd like to see a brew pub. I'd like to see something else there. But is it my job as a municipal leader to tell people what they can do with their own property? That's where I come. I have a problem. You know, those are just my thoughts. Any other comment, or I'll entertain a motion. Trustee Rafter.
I'll make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to deny the approval of the petition from Chris Doyle requesting plan development district on parcel AL-56-2, located at 1921 Riverside Drive.
Is there a second to Trustee Rafter's motion? The motion dies for the failure of a second. Do I hear an alternative motion? I'll make the alternative motion. I'll move to approve the Plan Commission's recommendation that this project proceed conceptually. Doesn't mean it's ultimately going to happen, but to proceed conceptually subject to the Plan Development District process, which will ultimately come back to this board for final approval of the final project. That's my motion. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Trustee Atwood. Is there any discussion concerning that motion?
I agree with that. I think that's a prudent way to go about this. That it doesn't make a commitment of doing anything except continuing to limit the process. It will be up to the people who are here tonight to continue to be active. I don't doubt that you will be, to come back and let us know your thoughts and feelings and ideas, and to monitor what's being done. I'm concerned about some of the language that was used in regards to what would be looked at and or concerns and or after approval and or other items that were brought up. So I think that the accountability process is the same for Chris as it was for Picker. And I agree with you that people should not be restrained from being able to sell their property. However, a mistake, whether it's a gas station or it's a 57-story high-rise, is a mistake. And to be prudent and to make proper decisions and follow good planning and good procedure is a part of what we're asked to do. And I think that's what we're doing, is we're saying, okay, we're going to look at this. We're also going to understand that we have this study that we've done. And we're going to try and get this big picture concept of what's going on. Because we know that if we make a decision one way or the other, it could be right or it could be wrong. Either way, we can live with it for a very long time. So I'm in favor. Continue.
All right, any further discussion? Trustee Green.
I would just say that this is very preliminary. This absolutely does not obligate us to anything. I have some huge concerns regarding the looks of this building in our village. I have even bigger concerns about access issues. And then, too, I would encourage you all to take a look at the comprehensive plan, because your view over Riverside, I think we do need to take into consideration, and some of the things in the quarter study plan are much higher than one story. So I think we need to take all those things into account. So I would tell you, pursuing this and looking at options does not in any way obligate the village to do anything, no matter how far these plans go.
All right. Thank you, Trustee Green. Any other board comment?
Just one other comment that I would recommend, that as you move forward in this process for approval, be clear and be concise as to what your plans are with it. Not, we may vary the driveway, we may have two, we may have one, we might open two. Be clear, because otherwise this is going to muddy the water. It's going to make everything very confusing and very hard to follow. So just be clear on what your intent is. Thank you.
All right, any other board comment? Trustee Green.
Just have one other thing to add. Hours, by nature of my job, I come home at all hours of the night. Our other facilities are not open that late at night. I would like to see us have an ordinance on the books that says they're closed at 10. Convenience store and pumps, done 10.
Except for you when you come home late.
No, if I run out of gas, that's my problem. Think ahead. Because by virtue of what that does attract entire neighborhoods in the middle of the night, I mean, I am all too familiar with what goes on in the middle of the night. I don't think we need that, and I don't think we need that in our community at those hours.
Nope, I agree with you on that. And I think the other gas stations in town do close at 10.
They do.
Yeah.
They're never home. They're never open when I come home.
All right. Any other board discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Motion is approved. So the conceptual plan has been approved. Continue with the process with the plan commission. All right. Thank you all. All right. Item number 10. Approval of the conditional use petition for 1401 South Webster for the Labor Ready. Is there a motion concerning this?
Board number 14.
And the recommendation is to approve it on the same basis as the past for 5 years, but we can adjust that. We can run that through for 5 years. Trustee Green.
I would recommend to approve at a 2-year interval only. I would not recommend that we go 5 anymore. And it looks to me like our last one was way over 5.
That was on this slide. Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Okay, motion to approve the conditional use permit for a period of 2 years, subject to renewal. Is there a second? I would second. Trustee Atwood seconds the motion. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The conditional use is granted for a term of 2 years, subject to renewal.
President Gass, I abstain. I didn't hear the beginning of the discussion.
On this one. So you abstained from that vote?
Yes, I didn't hear the beginning.
Then let the record reflect that it was unanimously approved with an abstention by Trustee Harris. All right. Let's see. Action reapproval of outdoor recreation and open space consultant. Just want to give us a little detail. I think we had some information up here at the podium about the proposed vendor.
Right. I want to apologize that we didn't get the information to you sooner. We did go out for RFPs for this, as approved by the board in a previous meeting. And we received five replies back from consultants. And in scoring the consultants' proposals through the Park and Rec Committee and through the staff members, it came to light that Rutler Corporation, which is a very high qualified and very good firm that does this type of work throughout the state, they scored the highest and also had the lowest fee for undertaking the update to the plan. So we recommend that the board approve us to work with Rutler Corporation to update our rec plan.
All right, thank you, Chris. Does the board have any questions of staff concerning the award of this contract? Trustee Green.
There's quite the dollar discrepancy here. How are you accounting for that? Because I really worry when we get a low bidder that is half.
Sure. I did speak with the consultant about that, and a couple of factors came to light. They are doing quite a bit of work in the area with other neighboring communities, so part of the fee that they had anticipated with travel and things like that would be pretty much negated because they're going to be in the area anyway. And also they wish to start a working relationship with the Village of Alloway. They are very efficient at doing this process of these updates because they've done it for many communities, De Pere for one, Ashwaubenon for another, City of Oshkosh. So they know what they're doing, and they know, you know, the processes to get through those. So.
They know we're expecting a whole job.
They do, yes.
Trustee Atwood.
Just a comment in the sense that this was my first action on this particular committee, and I will say that the information that Chris put together and the way that it was presented was outstanding. And it was very clear and easy to go through and to evaluate each one of the companies. I felt totally comfortable in the decision.
All right. Excellent. Kudos to Chris. And our staff, you know, generally does a very good job of condensing very complex and disparate information in a usable way for the board. So, kudos to you all, but I guess Chris gets them in particular. Any other discussion? I'll entertain a motion. Trustee Rafter.
I'll make a motion to approve
the award of the vendor contract to the Rutler Corporation.
Yes, sir.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The contract is awarded. Item number 12. Withdrawal from the local government property insurance fund. Claire, why don't you talk to us a little bit about that, because that sounds pretty ominous.
I know. That's just in regards to what we had talked about a couple months ago as part of the state budget process. The local government property insurance fund at first was going to be dissolved, and then dissolution was going to be prolonged for about 2 years, and now it's totally out of the state budget, so it's going to remain. But in anticipation, we went out for proposals with our other insurance carrier, just in case it was going to be dissolved. We did get our quote back from the local government property insurance fund for next year, and it was going to be a 71% increase. And the proposal we got, when we combined some other insurance, is actually going to be a 4% decrease. So in light of that, we would like to withdraw from the local government property insurance fund. To do so, we have to do this official form, and then the next agenda item goes with that to accept the other proposal that we got.
That sounds fantastic. The only thing I don't like is the name. I mean, we're going from the local government property insurance fund, which sounds really cool, to Chubb. But if they can give us a 4% discount, we'll take a 4% discount. The coverages are comparable?
Yes.
Between the two?
Here, so
well, let's take item number 12. Is there a motion to withdraw from the local government property insurance fund?
So
Trustee Green. Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are so withdrawn. Item number 13, to accept the property insurance proposal from Chubb at a discounted rate from our prior carrier. Is there a motion concerning this? I will so move. Is there a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion concerning the acceptance of the new insurance? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Property insurance proposal accepted. Item number 14, authorization to send letter of disallowance for claim resulting from sewer backup at 2680 South Van Buren. Do we have a motion concerning this? This is a motion to reject the claim formally, which shortens the statute of limitations to 6 months upon the denial based upon, you know, Trustee Gray.
I'm not making a motion. I just have a question.
Ask your question.
I'd love to hear from Craig first regarding what happened with Webster and Van Buren and how that may have played into it.
Craig, can you give some explanation? And speak up so that we all need to speak up on this one.
We have a maintenance program for our sanitary sewer system, which involves cleaning all of the sewers, flushing all the sewers in the village over a 3-year period. So each year we do about 35-40% of the sanitary sewer system. In this case, the sanitary sewer in that area was flushed in 2012 and in 2015. In April of 2015 is when this basement backup occurred. What happened was there was some root growth in one of the sewers downstream, and that is the cause of the backup, we believe. However, we did not know of that through our routine cleaning program. And as a result of that, not knowing that there was a situation that had occurred in that sewer, once we know, we have to take corrective action and maintain corrective action to prevent future backups. But without having that knowledge, we fall under the municipal exemption for liability. And that's why the insurance company, our insurance company, denied that claim. We always follow the guidance of our insurance carrier in terms of dealing with these issues. We don't deal directly with the resident. When a resident wants to file a claim with us, we direct them to go to their insurance carrier, and their insurance carrier work with our insurance carrier, because insurance is both cost coverage for a claim as well as legal representation. So in this case, our insurance carrier has already denied the claim to the resident, and they've recommended to us to deny the claim to shorten the statute of limitations. It doesn't prevent litigation from taking place. It just condenses it down to a shorter time period so it gets resolved in a more timely fashion. So this is the process that we've followed over the past several years when we've had a claim like this. So we're following the same procedure that we have followed in the past. We have not had a case that I can recall, maybe there was one, and I don't remember which one it was, where there was a request for reimbursement for the deductible. I don't think that that's come up. If that is a question or an interest, then I think that's probably something that our village attorney needs to review, because that may set a precedent. So that's a question that, if you want to explore that, that's something that we should probably look at in a little bit more detail. But for this evening, denial of the claim to shorten the period for which further action can be taken is really what's on the table.
Well, I think, you know, I think that the issue is one. Oh. Elvis has left the building. It does not appear that the blockage occurred in your line. However, just because the blockage occurs in the village line does not make the village responsible. There is, under the law, something called municipal immunity, which means we have to know it's a problem before it happens. And we actually have to know it's going to cause a problem before we have an absolute duty to take care of it. Provided that we conduct routine maintenance on the lines and do our job with maintenance. And this municipal immunity is meant to protect the municipality from what conceivably could be very large claims that could, you know, deplete our treasury. You know, so there is municipal liability recognized under the law because we run so many miles of these systems. You know, under the law, we have to know it's going to be a problem right before it happens, and then if we don't fix it, then it's our problem. But if we don't know what's going to happen, and as long as we do routine maintenance on the lines, then we are not responsible, even though the problem might be in our system. And the law was developed with public policy in mind. So I'll make a motion to deny the claim. There a second? Trustee Harris. Well, and I think Craig alluded to it, too. Part of the problem with these things is if we don't follow the guidance of our insurance company, and we do open up a Pandora's box of these kinds of claims, then, I mean, we would essentially be disavowing our municipal immunity. You know, I just don't think that's a good idea to do that. So, Trustee Green.
I'd just like to make an amendment to the motion that we also send this for consideration to our attorney in light of, I believe you're right, and we have paid a deductible in the past.
I think we have.
So I would at least like that to be considered. So is proper procedure to amend the motion for that for consideration, or can we make that a friendly amendment?
We'll take that as a friendly amendment. Who seconded it? Trustee Harris? You seconded that?
Yes.
So the friendly amended motion is to formally deny the claim based upon the recommendation of the insurance company, but to refer to village council consideration of the village perhaps reimbursing the deductible and the TORA labor expense that was associated. You understand that to be the friendly amended motion?
Yes, I do. Right. I also, one comment is that this is just, in my mind, we're continuing the process. As Craig mentioned, this doesn't end anything. It just continues the process that we've followed in terms of going with the insurance company's advice and shortening the statute of limitations, but it doesn't end the process.
Okay. Any other discussion? Trustee Dunn.
I have a question for point of clarification. Part of what you said, Sylvia, was that the street, Webster Avenue, had been cleaned, and that sludge in that process of cleaning had brought the effluent down through your system to your home. Is that what you were told at the time? Was that correct? And if so, that's something we should look at as well, as to whether our actions and how we went about our procedures of doing our basic maintenance were or were not correct. And if we were contributory to the process of the problem.
Well, I think that's an issue that we could discuss at Public Works, you know, in terms of what collateral issues might arise when we undertake certain procedures. Is there a better way to safeguard against some of those? But I think that's worthy of discussion at Public Works.
And my point behind bringing this up is that portion of what was brought up by Sylvia and that not be forgotten, discarded, or disowned by us as part of the process, because the roots is one thing, action is another.
Okay, well, we'll get that on the Public Works agenda to have that discussion. Any other discussions concerning the motion on the table? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion approved. Item 15, approval of recommendation letter to the Wisconsin Historical Society. That was concerning the pump house. Yep, that's concerning the Alloway Pump House and the Alloway Water Department building. Do we have a motion concerning the approval of this letter?
Motion.
Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Dennis. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The letter is approved for issuance. Yep, that's for your signature, Brad. Number 16 is the approval of a letter of intent for the CLG grant to continue with the exploration of having Miramar Drive Residential Historic District and the two individually eligible listings. Is there a motion to approve the issuance of the letter in further pursuit of the CLG grant?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Question is, should we table this based on the two requests today about the different properties? I guess that could be a motion, but do they feed each other?
Well,
or do they rely on each other?
Is there a critical time element to getting this letter issued?
We do need to submit it by September 11th, I believe.
All right, well then, okay. We could perhaps, you know, table this motion until the second meeting in August. And by then, we should have an answer in terms of why these other properties, you know, were not considered.
I was asked this question before, and I did speak with the consultant that did our intensive survey, as well as a representative from the Wisconsin Historical Society. They said a district has to be contiguous in nature. It has to have, it has to feel like it's contiguous when you're driving through it. The intensive survey is just a little glimpse at the community, so it doesn't, just because it wasn't mentioned in the intensive survey does not exclude it from being looked at as part of the district. As I spoke with the representative from Legacy Architecture who submitted the estimate, she is planning, if they are awarded the bid, to consider the neighboring properties as well in looking at the district.
So if we issue this letter, get CLG grant funding for further exploration, as part of that process, these other residences can be looked at in terms of inclusion in the historic district?
Correct.
We won't necessarily be limited to Miramar Drive Residential and the Minahan House and the Greiling House?
Correct.
We could add other homes into that process if the consultant and...
We could look at adding them.
All right.
And the consultant will look at them and guarantee that.
No, we're not asking for any guarantees that they be looked at for inclusion. And if we can add them in later once we get the grant funding to look at the others, I'm okay with that. Trustee Green.
Okay, there was no map included here, so I'm assuming the residents between Riverside Drive and at Miramar are not contiguous?
They are.
That's what I thought.
The sides of their property,
right.
The lady's property here, is right on Miramar, her side of her property.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Poe's property is shaped like an L, and it goes on to Riverside Drive, comes back, and then connects with the Miramar. So they are, in fact, all,
right.
Both properties are contiguous.
I get that, but what you just said was that the State Historical Society said they weren't contiguous. Or am I not understanding this right? Because to me, it's all one street.
Correct.
I don't care what their addresses are.
According to the standards that the consultants have to follow when looking at an intensive survey of a village, contiguous means it's either a large collection of homes, or it's, in the case of Miramar, which is a smaller district, it has to be homes that are all facing the same direction, but there's limited or no gaps in between homes that are considered in the district. So I can't speak on which house is which, but I know there is, I believe, a tennis court on one of the Miramar.
Yeah, I know where that one is.
Yeah.
It's back on.
So that's considered a gap. But that's something the consultant said they would look at further.
Because I'm with you. They are right there. I mean, I don't get how the addresses are hanging this up.
There is a parsing of the word contiguous here.
Yeah, very.
And, I mean, if we talk about the 48 contiguous United States, we realize that Oregon and Florida are nowhere near each other. And yet they are all part of the same system. So, therefore, we should be able to look at these properties, or they should be able to look at these properties as part of the, quote-unquote, district, which is also a word which must be included in the part of the process, and to allow them to be considered.
Well, sometimes it seems to me that they put form over substance.
Yes.
You know, just after hearing a little bit of the history, you know, of the home, I mean, history rather than which way it faces should kind of matter in large part. So I think we'd be okay approving the application for the grant funding. Assuming we get the grant funding, we will have these other homes explored for inclusion. And I think you're getting a sense of the board that, you know, to the extent that it complies with the guidelines that they have to follow. But I think the sense is that we would like to see them included ultimately in the final designation. Trustee Rafter.
Is it important for these properties to be considered in the historical district or to be considered for as being historic? And even so, my question is, if it's not terribly important to the property owners to be part of the district, but rather to be seen as a historical property, can we tell the consultant we want these considered for the historical register, and we're not really worried about being part of the district? Or do you want to be part of it? I'm not a historian, so I don't know.
I've been part of the district for so many years, I'd like to be considered part of the district.
Okay.
I also think there is a higher level of performance in regards to individual historic. This goes back many years to some real estate things, but in regards to it is a higher bar, a higher level of attainment to be standalone as opposed to be a portion of the district.
Trustee Harris.
The amount that we're considering, the $17,500, is that the grant would pay for the consultant work, or is that a budgeted amount for the village?
It would be completely reimbursable.
From the grant?
Correct.
I assume so, but I just want to make sure. And then there'll be a formal bid process?
Correct.
Okay, for different vendors. Okay.
I know that you said this earlier, but I would like it to be restated for your purposes to know that we should, as a village, stay in touch with them in regards to where we are at in the process and what's happening, and to communicate with them along the way. There may be nothing at some point. There may be a lot at some point. We don't know. We may agree with it. We may disagree with it. We have no idea. But the important part is that we continue to communicate with them as property owners, as possible historic sites within the village, and just to be good neighbors.
Trustee Rafter.
One other comment is we don't have to wait until the approval of the grant to do something like this, right? We can engage our historical preservation committee to work on this on behalf of our residents, I would think. Can we? I'm sure we can. Just say yes, Trevor.
Yeah, because then there's considered, and then there's really consideration.
Yeah,
and I guess my thing is I just don't want this to be a slight considered. I mean, I want to know some compelling reasons why they're kind of not in there from the State Historical Society, and not just because their houses face a different way, but they happen to be built before a road was built. So I know that's not your problem, but I think we really should make a case for this. I mean, I really don't see logically how they can use the metal.
I just don't. It would definitely be something that we should include in the RFP so that it's spelled out right from the beginning when we're bidding for these consultants to look at it. It's something that we don't have to go through the grant process to do. The grant is to cover the cost of the consultant. We could hire a consultant at any point. As far as the level of expertise, I don't know if we get the same quality. Not to say that our Historic Preservation Committee isn't qualified, but these are people with PhDs in the field of architecture and historical studies. So.
Well, here, I'll make a motion that we apply for the CLG grant, that once the consultant's ultimately hired, that they give these two other properties due consideration for inclusion of the district, and that the inclusion of these two homes within the district be referred to the Historical Preservation Committee so that they can at least weigh in on the subject, and it could probably offer some recommendation to the consultants when hired.
Well said. I'll second.
Second, Trustee Rafter. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. 17, the revised personnel manual. I do have mine. I killed my own trees in my office.
That's why I emailed it. We've been working on this on and off for the past several months, and majority of the changes are basically cleaning up some of the areas, but there were a couple items that do have impact, and one is the giving up the half of Good Friday and work the full day of Good Friday for a full day off on Christmas Eve. And that's probably the biggest impact in the entire document.
And is that the consensus that staff would appreciate that change or would like to see that change incorporated?
Yes. Knowing that this wouldn't take effect until next year because we've already had Good Friday off this year.
Otherwise, that would be sneaky, wouldn't it? And we don't have a sneaky staff. Trustee Green.
Well, Brad, you had said we have, like, nobody in here Christmas Eve morning either, so it doesn't seem like it's a detriment to residents at all, but it'd be bad for staff.
People just have to go to Mass after work now.
Yeah.
All right.
Are there any people within the village staff who are non-Christian who would be entitled to a different day if they had chose otherwise?
It has not been approached, but I guess you would have to definitely stay open.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that.
Trustee Dennis, don't open up a can of worms or we're changing it away from
you. Depends on what you're fishing for.
You've got a valid point. I think that should be an option if we do have employees who do celebrate separate holidays, and it can be accommodated that we do accommodate those.
Well, they do.
No, I would agree with that. I think the administrator can deal with those if there are specialized requests to accommodate someone's particular religious beliefs. Then we would reasonably accommodate those. So I don't know if we have to put it in terms of formal policy, but I mean, if there is such a request, I would think that we would give it due consideration and probably approve it. Trustee Harris.
I just wanted to formally acknowledge the amount of work that has gone into this. It's obvious it's taken many people many hours of time to put this together and quite a bit of time to read it, let alone proof it multiple rounds. So I just wanted to thank everyone for their time and effort they put into this.
Any other?
It's been our pleasure.
Could you say that out loud?
Well, just on page 21, right above 4, talks about considered casual days and jeans and team. It should be apparel rather than appeal. This is long.
Wow.
Sorry to be such a stigma.
He was just checking to see if he looked at it.
No, actually, it was the front desk person at my office, and she was nosy when she was printing it off. And she said, "Well, you make sure you tell them to change that." It wasn't me paying attention; it was somebody else.
Let it be known that the president was not paying attention.
I pay attention sometimes. All right, so you want approval for the recommended changes?
Correct.
All right. Is there a motion to that effect, Trustee Harris?
Second.
Second by Trustee Atwood. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The changes are adopted. All right. Item number 18 on the agenda is the consent agenda. I would like to take items A through C together in one motion. Do I have that motion? Trustee Harris. Trustee Green seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda is adopted. Item number 19, convene into closed session. Pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85.1c, considering employment, promotion, compensation.
Could I have permission to make a statement and then we'll leave? You've got a closed session coming up.
No, I'll make you stick around till then. No, assuming, hearing no objection, I'll suspend the rules for a moment, ma'am. Yeah.
I do not have a computer. I do not have email. I do not know when there are going to be meetings pertaining to things that I take a tremendous interest in, unless one of my neighbors, like Jamie, happens to mention it to me, and I don't see her all the time. Is there any kind of a way that one of these agendas could be mailed to me? I'd be happy to pay the postage. Do they come out a couple of days before? Can I pick it up at the office?
They are. Where are they posted? They're posted here at Village Hall.
Yeah, they're in the Village Hall.
And we used to have a packet up front, didn't we?
Yeah, it's still there.
Okay.
It is? Mm-hmm. I was not aware of that. And when do those get put up?
Board meetings are usually the Friday before the meeting.
Okay.
Planning Commission, Historic Preservation, Historic Preservation meets on Wednesday. They usually get sent out by Friday as well.
So if I stop in on a Friday, I can
sure. Yeah, feel free to give a call and see if there's anything coming up. And
okay.
We also encourage you to come to every meeting.
I may do that. And very well may do that.
Good.
Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'll resume the rules. We're contemplating going into closed session to discuss employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of a public employee over which we have jurisdiction or exercise responsibility. Is there a motion to go into closed session? Trustee Dennis, is there a second? Trustee Atwood. Voice vote, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
Trustee here. Rafter.
Aye.
President Gass votes yes to go into closed session. Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Dennis.
Aye.
We stand in closed session.